Well, thank you, Marge, and thank you, each one of you. So glad that you're all here.
You'll need to use that mic because you can move it up. But
so glad to have each one of you here this morning and that we can share together here at the Women's Bible Study at the Crystal Cathedral. It's so good to see so many faces of friends from many years. And even though there's some tough circumstances going on here at the Crystal Cathedral, there have been for some time, Jesus is Lord, and as we sang this morning, he's our friend, and he's our good shepherd, and we're here to love one another, and so we got a church. That's right. Well, I'm going to talk to you about Jesus in a woman's heart. You might wonder, well, Bill, what do you know about a woman's heart? You're a man. Well, I'm married to a woman. I got two daughters, and I got a female cat. And I've got a mom and two sisters, and I'm a psychologist. Over the years, I've spent a lot of time listening to women. So I think I have something for you this morning that will be... let me correct that. I think Jesus has something for you this morning,
Bill,
that will minister to you.
Some of our women have hearing issues, and you need to keep that mic for you. If you can't
Anybody having trouble hearing me?
Yeah, if you can't hear during Bill speaking, just put your hand up and so he'll know. Thanks.
So Jesus and a woman's heart, and we need Jesus to be the one who is our speaker this morning. And who's ministering to us, let's have a prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are here in our midst. We can sense your spirit. We see you in the smiles of one another, in the sunshine, in the garden that we're practically sitting in here. Thank you that you are here to be our good shepherd, and that you have something for each one of us this morning. We're listening to you. We want to follow you more closely. We want to serve you better by loving one another, by reaching out with your hands to those around us. So we thank you, Lord. Bring your words to life to us as we share from your gospel in Luke chapter 7. We thank you, Father, for this opportunity to gather together. In Jesus' name we pray, and by the Holy Spirit, amen. I'll tell you a story. I got a call last weekend from my daughter who's in college, and she was crying, and she had fallen rollerblading and was in very bad pain, hurt her wrist. And so we're trying to get the details, and then a leader came on the phone, and they were wanting to call an ambulance and rush her over to the emergency room, and we're very concerned for our daughter, but we're also very concerned about how much this was sounding like it was going to cost. So we're trying to get a little more information before that call was made. So we talked to my daughter again, and finally we realized, okay, we're just going to head over there because it was about a 15-minute drive. So I just dropped everything and drove over to my daughter, you know, just praying for her. And Christy, meanwhile, went to check on sort of things with our new insurance is not as good as it used to be, but to find out where we could take her and that sort of thing. And then, you know, when I got there, she just so glad to see me. And, you know, everybody was around her. She was sitting in a chair, and she was crying. Her wrist was in just a lot of pain. And, she hugged me and just kind of buried her head in my chest and began to tell me what happened and all of that. And as we walked over to the car, and then I drove her over to urgent care, and we got her taken care of. But she was crying. She said to me, "Oh, Daddy, am I going to be able to run the race with you next weekend?" See, she sees me running. I run marathons, some of you know, and I really enjoy running. This morning, even I ran 10 miles, and I ran some of those for you, praying for you. So, yeah. So if you didn't get your exercise in this morning, don't worry. I didn't want it for you.
Thanks, Bill.
Yeah. But The more important thing I do than run is I pray. And I actually took one of these outlines. If we're short one outline, it's because I grabbed one and I folded it up. And I actually was reading our scripture and meditating on it and praying that as I was running this morning. And she sees me running like this, and she's wanted to join me. So she found a race. It was a 15K race. 15 kilometers, that's 9.3 miles. She'd never run that far before, but she wanted to challenge herself because she wants to do a half marathon with me. So I said, well, okay, well, let's take a step. So she found this race, and you won't believe the race she found. It's the hot chocolate run. So this might motivate you to run 9 miles or walk 9 miles. At the end of the race, there's this huge fountain of flowing with hot chocolate. And, you know, you stick your fruits in there, and, you know, you just kind of, it's like, well, if you run all those miles, you might as well have some chocolate, huh? So that's the race she found in San Diego, and she really wants to be able to run that race. So she's got a soft cast on now, and we're hoping she's still in some pain, but we're hoping she'll be able to run.
So is it fractured?
Apparently it's just sprained. The x-ray showed no break, but, you know, when these hairline fractures, sometimes it's hard to tell what it really is. So, but essentially the treatment's the same. So, we'll see how she progresses. So, and the other thing she said to me was, "Oh, Daddy, will I be able to go to Honduras?" Because she's going on a mission trip in a couple of weeks, and they're going to dig wells. I'm not sure she'll be doing any digging. Yeah, she could be on the prayer team or the bring water bottles to people team. I'm not sure, but hopefully she'll still be able to go. But, you know, the thought that she wouldn't be able to run her race with her daddy, or she wouldn't be able to go on this mission trip, you know, it broke her heart. And just she said to me, "Oh, I'm so sorry." I said, "Well, honey, you didn't mean to fall. You know, it's okay. Oh, but it's so expensive. Don't worry about it. We're just glad we can take care of you." Well, in the Bible, there's a lot of stories about women with broken hearts, and one of them, the woman whose heart was really devastated. And there are many stories like this. This comes from Luke chapter 7, and if you have your handout, you'll see there verses 36 to 50. There's an amazing story from Jesus' life, and we get a real good window into his compassion that he has for people and that he has for each one of us here this morning. And I want you to be aware that as you're sitting here this morning, there are many, many more people who are represented by our group who are not here. I want you to just pause for a moment and think about all the people who are in your circle of influence. Your family, your friends, people in your neighborhood, people that you know, some that live all over the place. You have a circle of influence. It's probably a lot larger than you think. But however many people are in that, those people need the light of Christ that shines from you. And if that light goes dim in you and in me, then those people are going to miss something from God. Some care, some encouragement, some prayers, some insight. There might even be some people that never come to trust in Jesus if your light goes dim. And so, times like this, we need to think not only about ourselves and what we need to receive from the Lord, but we need to remember that, well, we're here for all those people. We need to hear from the Lord. We need to grow closer to Him. We need for that light to get a little warmer, a little brighter, so that these people in our circle of influence will see Christ in us. And it doesn't always come from our words. Sometimes it just comes from our actions of love and kindness, from our prayers. Prayer is the most important ministry, the most important service that any of us have in our lives is when we intercede for somebody. pray over them. And a great way to do that is what Marge was saying. You know, just get out the scripture and start praying it for somebody. I so love the way we were doing the prayer requests here earlier, that instead of talking them, you pray them. Let's just go right into the throne room and seek the grace of God together and pray. So, may the light of Christ shine brighter in us because we're together this morning and we're in His Word. So let me read to you from Luke chapter 7, starting in verse 36. Now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. You know that in this day, the way people ate at their meals, you know, in Israel and so forth, that the tables were like, they weren't like this table here. They were like really low to the ground. And so when it says that they reclined at the table, they're on these soft mats on the floor, laying at their side like this. And then they're just kind of eating from the table. So they're relaxing. They're lounging, you know. So have that picture in your mind now. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town, everybody knows this woman, that's the point. Mary Magdalene, perhaps, the town harlot, probably. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. Now, I'm going to keep pausing here, just kind of fill in some blanks here. This is an interesting question. How did she learn that Jesus was at Simon's house? Interesting backstory there, huh? The Pharisee's girlfriend, perhaps. Word really gets around in small towns. Yes, it does. I have a feeling that she was looking for Jesus. That she knew she needed Jesus. And Jesus was in town, and she had heard about him. Maybe she heard him preach, you know, the Sermon on the Mount, or heard one of his stories. He's always telling these stories. The kingdom of the heavens is like. And maybe she just thought, oh, I want to live in the kingdom of heavens. I wish I could be a disciple of Jesus. I wonder if he would accept me as bad a person as I am. Maybe she was crying out because of her brokenness. Apparently, we're going to read in a minute that apparently that's just the case, that she, in her, it's not a happy life being a prostitute. She's just trying to survive. You know, she's being mistreated. She's being taken advantage of. She's poor. A lot of hurt. I mean, why would somebody become a prostitute anyway? A lot of pain in her life. She's a very broken woman. She's desperate for the touch of Jesus. I'm hoping that some of us are realizing, I'm desperate too. She brought an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. She wasn't even willing to approach Jesus' face, just kind of hanging back there by his feet. Her tears dripping on his feet in a puddle. Then, Luke tells us, then she wiped his feet with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. That's what was in that alabaster jar. This was a lot of perfume in here. It's very expensive perfume, very precious perfume. This is what enabled her to earn her living. This is what kept her smelling nice. She poured it out on Jesus, all she had. When the Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of a woman she is, that she is a sinner. He's looking down at her with condemnation and judgment. It's probably the room is full of sneers and mutterings that this woman of the town has walked in to their privileged, esteemed gathering of these wealthy, aristocratic Pharisees. They didn't want anything to do with this woman. People are thinking, look at what the cat brought in now. A sinner. And Simon, who was the host, verbalized it. Well, actually, he didn't verbalize it. Excuse me. He was just thinking this to himself. It's part of the thing here, is that Jesus knew what he was thinking. So Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher, he said. Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii, and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back. So he canceled the debts of both. Wow, pretty nice deal. Now, Jesus says, which of them will love the master more? Simon replied, I suppose, he's a little tentative here, the answer is obvious, but he's a little tentative. I think he gets the sense that Jesus is speaking to him. I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. Interestingly, he's judged correctly. He didn't judge correctly in the first place. But now, in response to the story, he is judging correctly. Then Jesus turned toward the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet. And that was customary. Walking around in sandals on dirt roads, your feet get dirty. And it was a very customary thing that the host would wash the traveler's feet. Maybe a servant would do it if the host had a servant, or if not, the host, him or herself, would wash the guest's feet. Welcome, it's a hospitality. I mean, especially in this culture, really highly valued, to welcome the guests in. Simon neglected the cut. He didn't want to be getting dirty anybody's feet. So he didn't wash Jesus' feet. So Jesus says to him, look, you didn't give me any water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss. It's a common way of greeting one another, especially, again, in this culture. Jesus says, Simon, you didn't even give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head. This is a gesture of love and respect when a guest comes into your home in this culture. Some sweet-smelling oil. People get kind of sweaty, you know, in the desert walking around all the time. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little. Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. The other guests began to say among themselves, remember, it's a bunch of Pharisees, you know, religious leaders, aristocratic people of the law, keeping the details of the law and proclaiming it around and expecting everybody to, keeping all these burdens on people, expecting people to be as legalistic as they are. The other guests began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. What a story this is. So, a quote-unquote good person and a quote-unquote bad person have a conflict over Jesus. Now, I hope that you can see yourself in this story in a couple of ways. First of all, we find ourselves in a situation today, here, where we've had some depending upon which perspective, which sort of side you're on, who's good and who's bad might be different. But we've had a lot of conflict here at this church between quote-unquote good people and quote-unquote bad people. I'm afraid that maybe even some of us in this room have made judgments about others in the church or in leadership. It's hard not to be angry and to look down on someone who's hurt you and who has acted in a way that seems contradictory to what you think would be right or what Jesus would have them to do. It's so easy for us to see the speck in our sister's eye or our brother's eye, and so hard to see the log in our own eye, isn't it? This was the problem that Simon had. See, I'm afraid when you read this story, you need to ask yourself, who am I in this story? This is one of the ways to read the scriptures, that you enter into it. It's an approach to meditation. It's an ancient way of reading the scriptures. Ignatius of Loyola, many centuries ago, really popularized this, and he made a whole approach to spirituality out of meditating on the scriptures with the imagination and really entering into the stories as a way of listening to God speak into your life. So who am I in this story? And sometimes I'm afraid that maybe I'm like Simon the Pharisee. Maybe I'm quick to judge, find fault with others, particularly when I've been disappointed or I've been hurt. We don't want to be in the position of Simon the Pharisee, because he's left outside in the end. I mean, maybe he ends up repenting later. Let's hope that he did, but we have no indication of that. More likely, it would seem that he was one of the people that crucified Jesus. Away with him. We don't want a Messiah like that. We want a Messiah who will make Israel number one. Yeah, Israel. Go, Israel. We don't want a suffering servant Messiah talking about a spiritual kingdom of mercy that lets these sinners just walk right in. We only want the good people on our side, the proper people, the dignified people, because we're better than they are. So easy to fall into this way of thinking about things. And it might be that some of us have been glad at the change of leadership here at the Crystal Cathedral, because maybe we didn't like some of the things that the previous leaders were doing. I hope that none of us would have had such judgmental thoughts as, oh, good riddance. And if you've had thoughts like that, or if you've said things like that, pray the Lord for mercy. We don't want to be judging anybody like that. Others of us are on the opposite side of it, perhaps. And we're very sad to have lost some leaders in the direction the church was going. And we might even be thinking negative things about the leaders now, or saying some things about that. You know, it's so easy to gossip. It's so easy to talk bad about other people. You know why we tend to do that? Because it's an easy way to get a connection with somebody. If you talk about somebody over here who screwed up, first of all, it's a tremendous curiosity. And so it gets our attention. We want to talk about all the mud, all the muck, all the problems that this person has. Second of all, when we can point the finger at somebody else and see their problem and how they made a mistake or they shouldn't have done that, then you and I can agree on that. It's a real easy way to connect. You know that our politicians know this. If you haven't noticed in the commercials, so much easier to talk about the other guy or the other woman and what, how unhelpful and unwise and what a bad politician they are than it is to really stand for yourself. And what's your platform? What are you going to do? See, it's a quick way to get attention and to get people on your side. See, out of insecurity, we want to get people onto our side so we can feel connected. So gossip and slander are a great sickness of the soul. There's no real bonding in that. And there's nobody in this room, including me, who has not at some point wandered into the path of gossip and slander. May the Lord help us. Lord, have mercy on us. And some of us might be engaging in quite a bit of that, verbally or even just in our own thoughts. Lord, have mercy on us. So, Jesus turns the tables. Who's the good person? Who's the bad person? See? He says, it doesn't work in those categories like that. God's love is really big. His mercy is huge. It's available to everyone. And he is quick to receive this woman. He teaches a great lesson. The more you're forgiven, the more you love. Now, let's be careful that we don't put that in an order, because it goes the other way, too. The more you love, the more you'll be forgiven. You know, in our Western mindset, we kind of make it linear. A leads to B. But in the Hebrew culture, in the wisdom of the Bible, it's not like that. It's more circular. It's more interconnected. It's more relational. So you got to go both ways. But what this does say is that if we are finding ourselves, like Simon the Pharisee, being judgmental of others, blaming others, finding fault with others, that shows that we have not received very much forgiveness. So the first thing we need to do is look within our own hearts and look at our own lives and begin confessing our sins and be broken before the Lord. Because see, the reason why Luke tells us this story is to invite us to come to the feet of Jesus with this woman, to fall at his feet and cry our tears. And we have a lot of tears in this room. Grieving over the declines that have happened here at the church. People who have left. Leaders who have left. Changes in direction. Shrinking audience in ministry. Hurt, conflict, even in our leadership. It's very painful. Loved ones and friends who aren't here with us this morning that would have been. We need to go to the feet of Jesus and cry. We need to go to his feet confessing our sins, particularly if we've been judgmental, if we've been condemning of others. Ask the Lord for mercy. And look at the log in our own eye rather than trying to take out specks out of our brother and our sister's eyes. Luke is inviting us to go to the feet of Jesus with this woman and break our alabaster jar of perfume at Jesus' feet. What's in your alabaster jar? Your personality, your gifts, the Lord has given you to minister to others. Also your sins. Your brokenness. The stuff of your heart. Some stuff you might feel good about, some stuff you feel bad about. All of it is useful and received by the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe especially this morning we ought to emphasize our brokenness, our hurt, our tears and our sorrow, our grief is received by the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we pour that out at his feet, he makes use of it. He brings healing to us, and he brings healing through us as the light of Christ shines brighter through us to the people around us who are broken, who are hurting, who are grieving. You see, Jesus says here at the end, he says to the woman, essentially, you need to let go of my feet. I mean, in one sense, we never want to let go of Jesus, right? We hold on to Jesus, and he's our dear friend. He's our good shepherd. And that's true. In our heart, we never let go. But in another sense, we need to let go, and we need to move on. Because there's people all around us in our circles of influence who need the gospel of Jesus in our person, in our prayers, and in our words. And we need to let that spill out. See? Remember Jesus said, before he ascended into heaven, just closing comments here this morning. Remember Jesus said, unless I go, the Holy Spirit won't come to you. It was good for us that Jesus left in body because his Spirit came. And it's infinitely better that we have Jesus inside of us than that we would have to physically be with him in bodily form, as special as it would be to be with Jesus physically and as special as it will be in heaven. In life, God has ordained that his Spirit would go with us. There's a principle in here that has to do with any situation of grief and letting go of someone you love. We would like to have Michelle here this morning. 19 years she has served faithfully, cared for you women, and loved you and prayed for you. And it breaks her heart. I talked with her yesterday. It breaks her heart not to be here. Now, these things are complicated. You know, why can't she be here? We're not going to go into that. And we're not going to make a judgment about that. Just know that she loves you dearly. You all know that. We miss her. We miss Rhea. And Rhea, her spirit is very, as is Michelle's, very present here. Michelle's is a leader who has cared for all of you. Rhea is a teacher and an intercessor and a healer. And I think you will agree with me that their influence very much lives on. Their spirit is very much alive and well here in this group. I sensed it just this morning as we're singing hymns, as you're praying. I thought, oh, I can't wait to go home and email Rhea and tell her. You would be so proud of the women that you've been discipling at the Crystal Cathedral to listen to the way that they pray for one another and the way they sing out and the positive faith that comes from them. Not a word of complaint or slander. Just looking for Jesus to be glorified. Praying for the ministry of the church and the people of this community. Praying for those who are hurting. See, that's Jesus, alive in the resurrected Christ, who has come to us through Rhea, has come to us through Michelle, alive and well in you. And through you, now, as we leave this place and go to our circles of influence, Jesus says, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. We're peacemakers. I've been reading this book about St. Francis of Assisi. It's called Chasing Francis. You might like it. It's a novel, actually. So it's, you know, a spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down. It's like, I don't actually read a lot of novels, but it's very interesting and engaging and easy reading. But along the way, I mean, the author is Chasing Francis. He goes to Italy and he follows in the footsteps of St. Francis of Assisi and experiences a tremendous healing. And the main character actually is a pastor, which is why I'm reading the book, because as Marge mentioned, my wife Christy and I have a new ministry now called Soul Shepherding, which is a ministry to pastors, pastors' wives, and other leaders, and also just people who want to come to events like all of you, and many of you, all of you perhaps, are leaders for the Lord. Chasing Francis is written by Ian Morgan Cron, C-R-O-N. So he has lots of insights about the life of St. Francis of Assisi and how that brings healing and transformation into the main character who is Chase, a very broken pastor. So I just want to read, in closing, I just want to read to you this wonderful prayer of St. Francis of Assisi, his peace prayer, many of us know. Because Jesus says to us, go now in peace. And in a minute, you're going to bring the peace of the Lord to your small group as you share and pray. And then you're going to walk out these doors and bring the peace of Christ and the light of Christ to the people in your circle of influence. O Lord, make us instruments of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine Master, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Some of you saying that with me, you know it by memory. It's a wonderful blessing. Don't you think that's a good prayer for us this morning?
Amen.
Isn't that exactly the way we need to be praying here at this church? God is good, whatever the future holds for the Crystal Cathedral. God is good. However seemingly ruined Dr. Schuller's legacy might seem to be to the public, in the eyes of God, despite his sins and the sins of his family, and our sins in this room, in the eyes of God, the many works of love that Dr. Schuller has done over many decades, particularly from these grounds right here, have not been lost in the kingdom of God. There are people who are in the kingdom of the heavens today as disciples of Jesus because of that ministry. And you all have had a part in that. And so you can hold your heads high and give thanks to the Lord, even though there is so much confusion and dismay around us for years on end now here at the Crystal Cathedral. I am very thankful and blessed for you and your faith in the Lord, in that you are here together as a community, praising the Lord, and praying and serving Jesus together. There is a light for Christ shining from this room and from each one of you right now. So thank you for that. Thank you for ministering that to me. Thank you for keeping the light on here. Blessings.